You love the Lord today? Amen. John chapter 5, verse 1. If you're there, say amen. All right. Now, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem because he was a Jew, right? Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, which means house of mercy, having five porches. And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Now whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there. He had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie, notice this, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to be healed? Yeah. Sound like a silly question, doesn't it? Verse 7, the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, for while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath, which you know that means trouble, because religious people. The Jews therefore saith unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. We just want to, that sounds stupid. I mean, is that just me? They knew the guy was impotent. What are you doing healed today? It's Sunday. Excuse me. Go lay back by the pool until tomorrow, then carry your bed around. We laugh at that, but we about as bad, ain't we? Verse 10, the Jews therefore saith unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Lord help us. He answered them and saith, and he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. In other words, take it up with him. Then they asked him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And I love verse 13. And he that was healed did not know who it was. For Jesus had conveyed himself away and a multitude being in that place. Now hold up. Jesus didn't call TBN. Didn't have a press conference. He didn't even know who he was. We didn't get him out in front of the church and make him lay hands on everybody else. Or make a big deal out of it, or give him an offering. I love that. Jesus just healed him and went on by his way. And the Bible says there was a multitude there. In other words, Jesus was avoiding the crowds. Man, I wish we had some people that would do that in the church today. Say amen or oh me one, whichever one you want to do. Amen. How many knows we can't heal anybody? Well, five of you know that. Right? We can't heal anybody. Why are we taking credit for stuff God's doing? Why are we taking God's glory? If God does anything through your life, it's simply because he chose to. Amen? If you lay hands on somebody and they got healed, thank God. But listen, step out of the spotlight and into the shadows and let God get the glory. How about that? Amen. Quit making tape series and books and stuff and bragging on yourself. You pat yourselves on the back, we dislocate our shoulder, pat ourselves on the back. Verse 14. Y'all still love me? Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. Then the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. This morning I want to preach on something called take up your bed and walk, okay? Let's pray. Father, we need your help today. God, there's nothing I can do to help anybody. I need you, Father. We pray for your anointing today. God, to anoint the word. Let it go forth. Let it bring forth 30, 60, and 100 fold. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Now, after coming from Sychar, where Jesus met up with a woman at the well, he was making his way to Jerusalem to observe the feast of the Passover. Now, this was the most attended of all the feasts and the custom of the Jews. Notice Jesus didn't go to the temple or the synagogue on his way there. He came to this pool called the House of Mercy. Now this pool was located by the sheep gate. This was a special gate that was built in the northwest corner of the Jerusalem to get sheep into the temple site for sacrifice. And this is where people would come. Now, in the New Testament times, this pool, which was located in the Eastern Wall, was used to bathe sheep to prepare them for sacrifice. It is said that it was also a place to take ceremonial baths when Jews would become ceremonial unclean. It was here that the crippled folk and the diseased folk would scramble down a number of stairs to get into the water when the angel would come to trouble the water. Ain't you glad today that you don't have to be first to get in the water to receive healing, to receive anything from God? Isn't that good today? Aren't you glad that Jesus tore the veil in the temple, that you can go in for yourself? Now, the Bible isn't clear how long this man had been crippled or been laying by the pool, but it did say he'd been crippled for 38 years. But something stood out to me when I was reading this. The Bible says that when Jesus saw him, he could tell he had been there a long time. Now, look at this with me for a minute. We've got a multitude of people sitting here waiting on the troubling of the water. But Jesus notices this one person had been there for a very long time. And the Lord asked me that. And I said, why? How could you tell God that he'd been there so long? The Lord said, because he looked comfortable. He looked comfortable out of all the other people that were there. Most of them were there. They were ready when the water was troubled. They were in a ready position, in a ready state of mind. But this guy had camped out. He had got comfortable with just being there. He had camped out right beside his miracle. Jesus could tell that. He must have looked pretty comfortable. He had settled in for the long haul. He had become content just to lay there. He got content with just to be around other people that were getting healed. He got content with just being a church member and reading his Bible and just being a good person. He got content, got comfortable with misery. You know, Bible didn't say that. It should say that. Misery loves company, doesn't it? Now, Jesus asked him what seems to be a really silly question. He said, do you want to be healed? That kind of sounds like a dumb question. After all, he'd been laying there for years, possibly. Maybe even as long as 38 years. But when Jesus asked him, what's the first thing he began to do? Make excuses. Right? Jesus said, do you want to be healed? Well, Lord, when I try to get in the water, everybody gets in front of me. When I try, I don't have anybody to help me. I don't have anybody to help me get in the water. I would get healed. But I just can't. You don't understand what I've been through. Hello. We're going to have to spend a little time right here this morning. We got to deal with some excuses this morning. You don't know what it was like when I was growing up. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what it's like to be where I'm from. You don't know what it's like not to have a fair shake like everybody else had. And I didn't come from money. And my family didn't go to church. And I don't have a job like you got. And I don't pray like so and so pray. And you don't know what I've been through. Man, we all got excuses, don't we? There's plenty of excuses for not doing and being everything that God wants you to be. We can sit here and we can make excuses all day long, but the Bible says that you have been justified by faith. Justified means just as if you had never sinned. DNA evidence can't even put you at the scene of the crime. And those the Lord justifies, he glorifies. Amen. God has equipped you. If you've been saved today and you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're qualified. Not only that, you're worthy because he's worthy. See, it ain't about you. It ain't about where you've been. It ain't about what you've done. It's not about your educational level. It's not about your history. It's about your future. And your future belongs to God if you belong to him. But you got to surrender that to him. Stop making excuses for your life. Stop making excuses for why you can't be what God wants you to be. Man, we've all got excuses. Amen? We can all sit here and have a pity party. You know those people. You're almost afraid to ask them how they're doing. And it's such a habit, you ask them anyway, how you doing? You hear the pity train coming. Woo-woo! Here we go. I'm just going to sit down. It's going to be at least 30 minutes. 30 minutes. I heard here. I heard there. You don't know this. You don't know that. It's cold. It blah, 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 blah. If that's you, don't come talk to me at a church. I love you. From a distance. I gotta go home. I ain't got all day. So, amen? We've all got excuses. But now, this guy was laying on a bed. This bed was supporting him and his excuses. So I want to ask you this morning, what is it that you're lying on? What is it that's supporting your pity and your excuses? What is it that's keeping you from getting into the water, so to speak? What is it that's holding you back? What is it that every time something comes up, every time God speaks to your heart, every time you feel the nudging of the Spirit, what is that thing that pops up in your spirit that keeps you from doing that? That's your bed. That's the thing you've got comfortable with. That's the thing you've camped out around. You've built a fire. You've got comfortable with being unworthy. You got comfortable with feeling like you're not enough and having low self-esteem. And you got comfortable with the generational garbage in your life. Amen? You got comfortable with being that kid from up the holler and around here and around there. You got comfortable with what people say about you. When are you going to get uncomfortable with all of those things and begin to believe God that you are who He says you are? When are we going to take God at His word? I don't know about you. You find me one time that God ever lied to you. You find me one mistake in this infallible word of the living God. Every dotting of the I, crossing of the T in this book is true. How do I know? Because I tried it. I tried it when I was sick. I tried it when I was broke. I tried it when I was dealing with anxiety and depression. And when I was losing my mind, He said, I'll give you a sound mind. I tried it. Guys, I tried it for myself. If we spend as much time standing on God's word as we did complaining. Man, you want to see your life turn around? Change your conversation. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. That means you got to say it out loud. You got to walk the living room floor. And you got to say, God, doctor says I'm sick. And my body says I'm sick. And I feel sick. But you said I'm the God that heals your diseases and all your infirmities. You said with your stripes I'm healed. God, I believe what you say. I command my body to line up with your word. God, I'm depressed. I'm suicidal, but your word said, I'm not giving you a spirit of fear. I'm dealing with anxiety, but I may feel like I'm going to go crazy. But you said, you've not given me a spirit of fear, but peace, love, and a sound mind. And I command my mind to be sound in the name of Jesus. I am who you say I am. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. I'm above and not beneath. I'm a more than a conqueror. I'm not just a conqueror, Curtis. I'm more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah, but we don't read the verses before verse 13 in Philippians 4. He said, I've been hungry. I've been shipwrecked. I've been naked. I've been destitute. He said, I can do all these things. I can be hungry because He gives me strength. I can go through sickness because He gives me strength. I can do all these things. I can be emotionally disturbed because He gives me the strength to go through it. Let me tell you something. You're going to go through stuff if you live long enough. Amen? You don't believe me? Just hang around. That's the truth. Now, that don't sell CDs and books and fill auditoriums, but that's the truth. Jesus didn't save you just to make you happy. He saved you so you would not have to go to hell. A very real hell. And I got news for you. Everybody don't go to heaven. Not even all dogs go to heaven. I mean, they made a movie about it, and I'm not even sure. I know my dog ain't going to heaven. Amen. Amen. I've been laying hands on. You know what my dog does? I'm not kidding you. We got our house decorated for Christmas. We got these little Christmas carolers standing on the stairs. He goes by every day and he knocks them over. Just rebellious spirit in there. Now, here's what I want to ask you today. You would think that if people came to church, stood in prayer lines, and attended conferences and counseling, they were serious about deliverance. The man became content with watching everyone else get in the water. He just accepted his situation. He acted concerned. He came to the pool where he's supposed to be. He lay there with all the other cripples, but he never got in the water. Guys, the water's troubled. Jesus troubled the water when he died on the cross. Everything, the Bible says he gives you everything you need that pertains to life and godliness. God's made provision for you. You have to take advantage of it. Make full proof of your ministry, the Bible says. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your mind. But here's what has to happen. Our will and God's power must cooperate to see the manifestation of God's intervention. Your will and God's power have to cooperate. You can't walk around saying no when God's saying yes. You can't say maybe when God says absolutely. You can't be halted between two opinions. If God's God, serve God. He's the God that answers by fire. Listen, I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what you're dealing with. I'm not saying it's easy. Listen, I didn't know how messed up I was till I got saved. I didn't know how angry I was. I didn't know all of the generational stuff that I had to deal with. I didn't know all the emotional stuff that I had to deal with. I didn't realize how much it affected me not having a father. I didn't realize what the abuse had done to me. I didn't realize what an emotional mess I was. I was suicidal one day and ready to take on hell with a squirt gun the next day. I didn't realize what a mess I was in because I was medicated for about 9 years. But when God removed that out of my life, then I had to deal with the person of who I was. But I'm here to tell you this morning, I might still be a mess, but I'm his mess. Amen? I might be a mess, but I'm not living in denial, Odie. I am what he says I am. I am who he says I am. I can do what he says I can do. You know what? I may have been in high school till I was 20 years old, but I still got a career. Amen? I may not have had a chance like other people have. I don't have family to visit on Thanksgiving, but God's given me a wife and kids and other kids that don't even belong to me. I'm raising kids. You know what? I may not be what I ought to be, but I sure ain't what I used to be. I am called and chosen. I'm a royal priesthood. I have been called to glorify God. Amen. I don't have time to feel sorry for myself. Amen. Nobody likes going to pity parties. Quit sending out invitations. Amen. I have pity parties sometimes. Y'all have a pity party? You're trying to feel sorry for yourself. About 5 minutes of that. And I say, this just ain't worth the effort. Nobody's coming. My wife done told me suck it up. Kids want to play with me. I might as well get over it. Y'all been there? I hope you got a wife or a husband tell you suck it up. Boy, I do. Sometimes that's awesome. Other times, not so much. Take up your bed. What is it, that excuse? Jesus said, stop sinning or something else will come upon you. What sin had he committed? I tell you one sin he committed that day is the sin of doing nothing. The sin of being a victim. Of feeling sorry for himself. Of making excuses. Guys, Jesus paid a tremendous price for us to have everything that he wants us to have. Yes, there are obstacles. Some of us have more than others. But here's what I found too. Those of us that have been through a lot know God in a way that's just special. See, if you've never been to the point that you felt like You didn't know if you were going to make it or not. If you never been anywhere that the only person you had was God. There was nobody to call. There was nobody to help you. When you needed money and there was nobody that you even knew that had money. But you got on your knees and the phone rang. And said, hey, I was praying and the Lord told me to give you $50. And I was just on my knees and didn't have money to drive to school. Trying to make my life better. When you've been there, you know God in a personal, intimate way. And what you all don't realize is that those excuses are keeping you from an awesome relationship with a loving Father that wants you to be so close to Him that you can get up in His lap, that you can look at Him in His face, and He can whisper your name when you're walking through the store and you gotta stop and get off by yourself and talk to Him. You see, those excuses are not only keeping you from your miracle, they're keeping you from the miracle maker. And that's the whole purpose the enemy's using. He doesn't care if you come to church. He doesn't care if you shout and run. I seen a bobby pin on the steps up here coming in this morning. I thought, who been out here shouting? He don't care how many conferences you go to. He don't care if you listen to worship music and raise your hands. But oh, don't you dare start getting free. Then you got problems. But see, that's the problem in itself. We start getting close to God and standing on His Word. And you know what happens? Now this is the truth. What happens? It gets worse. It gets worse. What in the world are you preaching this morning, Joe Farmer? The T-R-U-T-H. I think that spells truth, don't you? He's a teacher. I ask him all those hard questions. Right? That's the truth. When I go to do good, what happens? Evil is sometimes present. When's it present? Paul said, I find a law. Hold up. A law. It's like the law of gravity. You throw something up, it's going to come down, right? He said, it's a spiritual law. When you go to do good, I promise you, evil will be present. When we started working on the axis, last year, and when we really started ramping up back in July and working on it, all hell has broke loose in my life. Everything that you could think of could go wrong has went wrong. Why? Because the devil knows the intentions we have with that building. And it's just a building. That's all it is. But it's a place to introduce people to Jesus. Amen? There are some of you punishing yourself for your past. You're borrowing from your future to pay for your past. You can't receive God's mercy and grace for your life. You say, well, I don't deserve getting the water with all the others. I mean, it's good for them. But I've been through a divorce. Can we just talk? Talk real for a minute. It's happening. Let's just talk about it. Let's quit coming to church and act like everything's good, okay? I've been abused. I've got a habitual sin I'm dealing with. I'm struggling. But we can't talk about that in church, no. Let's just let them suffer. And then when they go out in the world and get away from church, yeah, I knew they weren't real anyway. And they crying out for help right here in the pew. Right? But we make people feel like they got to come to church and act like everything's okay. It's okay to struggle. I said it's okay to struggle. Now, all y'all that never struggle, come pray for me after church. I got two teenage girls in my house. I struggle. Amen? We all struggle. You don't have to wait in line until the fastest or the strongest get in. Jesus fulfilled the law, and here's what he said. Whosoever will. They come to music, I'm done. Whosoever will, let them come. Come. But here's what you got to do. First thing you got to do. What did Jesus tell him? Take up your bed. Take up your bed and walk. Not walk. No. First, you got to take up your bed. You gotta take up those excuses those things that you're laying on, those things that are supporting you, even the people, there are codependent people, there are people in your life. If there are people in your life telling you, that's all right, you know what, you've had it hard, you just stay right here, do you get rid of them people? I don't need anybody fueling the fire of pity in my life. I don't need you feeling sorry for me. I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm called and chosen and anointed to do everything that God wants me to do. I am free, and who the Son sets free is free indeed. I don't need your pity. I don't need you feeling sorry for me. I don't need you telling me you understand all I've been through. I need people say, suck it up. Take up your bed. What is your bed this morning? What is it that you're laying on? You're right beside, and you don't even realize it. You're right beside everything that God wants you to have. But you can't walk into it until you start dealing with the excuses. You know, the crippled man could have got on the last step of the water and said, I'm just going to stay here. I'm going to crawl down there, and when the water's troubled, I'm just going to roll over. See, one of the reasons he didn't want to get in the water is because it was nasty. I don't know about you. You're bathing sheep. I've never bathed a sheep. I can only imagine a thing this big around of hair. It's lived out in the wilderness. And hundreds, sometimes not thousands of those things coming through there, using the bathroom in the water, washing them, all the filth and dirt. I don't know about you. He probably laying there smelling the water and thinking, I ain't getting in that. People probably come on, hey, bro, let me help you get in the water. No, it's all right, I'm good. I'm just going to lay right here. Are you sure? Oh, yeah, I'm sure. And see, we look at it a lot of times. Some of us are afraid to get in the water because we're afraid what God's going to do with our life. Guys, let me tell you something. God will never do anything in your life that makes you miserable. I love what God's done in my life, Odie. I'm thankful for all the problems I've had. I've learned to worship when I got hard times. I've learned to thank Him for it. See, some of you are afraid. Well, I don't want to be no preacher. I don't want to do that. I don't want to go to Africa. Why everybody don't want to go to Africa? I don't know what that's about. I'm afraid God will make me do this. God ain't going to make you do anything. But you know what? God hardwired you for what He wants you to do. And until you tap into that, you've never known happiness. You've never known freedom. So here's what I ask you this morning. If you're here today, you don't know the Lord. You're not saved. You think, well, I think I'm saved. Well, if you think you're saved, you're lost. This ain't a think-so kind of thing. You can't be sort of saved no more than you can be sort of pregnant. You either are or you aren't. Well, how'd I get saved? You got to deal with your sin. You got to deal with your excuses. Well, I'm trying. I'm trying to get clean. How many times you talk to people like that? I'll come to church when I take care of all these problems. Well, won't you come to church and work on these problems with all of us, all our problems? Unless you all don't have problems. Well, I don't smoke anymore. No, we sure do a lot of other things, don't we? Come as you are. Take up your bed and bring it with you. Bring it with you. Jesus has troubled the waters. What do you have to do to be saved? You got to repent. You got to realize that God's going to judge every thief, liar, fornicator, adulterer, murderer, gossip. You're going to stand before God one day. He's going to open the moral law, the Ten Commandments. And God's going to judge your life based upon that standard that He created, not standard you created. You think, well, I think my God wouldn't do that. Well, you're right, because your God don't exist. That's a God of your imagination that you made up to feel good about your sin. That God, you're right, that God don't exist. That God would never send anyone to hell. Peace out, just God would never send anybody to hell. Then why do we as humans have jails? Tell that to the man whose daughter was raped and murdered. Tell that to to the man that was shot and crippled. They want justice, one. God wants justice. He is holy and righteous, and He will punish every sin when He comes. And when you die, you're going to stand before Him. Well, I don't believe that. Which is the truth, whether you believe it or not. See, that's the problem with the world we live in. Well, truth's whatever I think it is. No, the truth's whatever He says it is. And you're going to stand before Him one day. But here's the good news. Here's the great news. You're standing in the courtroom and a judge is getting ready to bring the gavel down and sentence you to life in prison. The doors burst open. Somebody bursts in and says, hey, I'll pay his fine. That man that did that for you, his name is Jesus. He paid your fine in his own blood. And if you'll repent, which means you'll turn from your sin and you'll follow him all the days of your life, the Bible says you will be saved. And God will give you everlasting life that you can't earn. Now, if that's you, we're not going to dim the lights and we're not going to bow our heads. It takes guts to make a change. Amen? There are no undercover Christians. I hear reports that Barna says only 1 to 2% of Christians witness. You know what that tells me? 1 to 2% of people that claim to be Christians are saved. The other 99 or 98%. Or false converts. How in the world are you going to tell me that you met the God of the universe, that you passed from death to life, all your sins have been forgiven, you don't have to spend eternity in hell, and you can't open your mouth and tell somebody about it? But you'll find a pair of shoes on sale and you can't shut up about it. That's the truth, guys. I can't help it. The day I got saved, I went to the only red light we had in Wallace Creek, and I stood in the middle of the road doing this. Let me tell you what happened to me last night. I got saved last night. Man, you need to quit talking like that. No, I'm serious. I got saved last night. Whatever. And they'd pull on, they'd flag another one down. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord, we're going to ask you right now to come. Repeating a prayer doesn't save you, but if you come repentant and broken this morning, God will set you free. Amen? Amen. If you're here and you want someone to help you pray, that you want to talk, we're here for you. I'm not going to wait all day. Is there one? Is there one? All right, how many of you are here? God's calling you into a deeper relationship with Him, but you feel like you got so much stuff that you just can't do it. How many be honest with me right now and say, it's me? Yeah. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to worship together. We can bring you up here, I can throw wool on you, I can do everything in the world, but if you don't make it up in your mind, I don't care to pray with you, but if you go home and start acting the same way, what have we done? Make it up. Everybody stand with me for a minute. Let me tell you what changed in my life. I was praying one day, and all my life I grew up in an environment where I was told I was no good. And I remember kind of complaining to the Lord one day in prayer. I said, but God, you don't know what people say about me. And I'll never forget, Odie, what he said. He said, but what did I say about you? And what are you going to believe? And I said, God, from this day forward, I choose to believe what you say about me. I am who you say I am. My circumstances didn't change one bit. Not one bit. I didn't get a better job. And all my problems didn't go away overnight. But let me tell you what changed me. Inside of me, my conversation changed. I stopped saying, woe is me. And I started saying, I can do all things. I stopped saying I don't deserve that to saying I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and I am the word of my testimony. I'm an overcomer. I am who you say I am. I begin to open up Psalms 1. I begin to pray it out loud until tears soak the pages of my Bible. And everywhere it said, man, I inserted my name. I pray, blessed is Joe that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. But Joe's delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does Joe meditate day and night. Joe shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. And whatsoever I do, it will prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That's me. God, I am who you say I am. What excuse are you dealing with today? Some of you, you're like me, you just got saved and all of a sudden you realize what a mess your life's been. Give it to Jesus today, okay? This is just the beginning. Getting saved is just the beginning. We got stuff we got to deal with, Odie. I'm 42 years old. I'm still dealing with stuff. A couple years ago, I dealt with stuff from when I was a kid. This tall. God set me, miraculously set me free from all of that fear, anxiety, depression, insanity. Set me free of all of it, guys. He'll do the same for you. But here's the deal. What did he say? I'm going to ask you what God asked me. Yeah, but God, you don't know this. Okay. What did he say? What are you going to believe? Holly, what are you going to believe? What are you going to believe? Are you going to believe what he says about you? Or are you going to believe your circumstances? Or are you going to believe your emotions? Or are you going to believe your heart? The Bible says the heart's deceitfully wicked above all things. Who shall even know it? What are you going to believe? Your emotions are screaming something totally opposite. You can't do that. You can't go there. You're having anxiety just thinking about trusting God. But what did he say? You got to pick it up. I want everybody that wants to, as they play, pick your bed up. If you can bring it up here, bring it up here. Take up your bed and walk. Take up your bed and walk. And people are going to see you carrying that bed. And the first thing they're going to tell you, like the Pharisees, what are you doing carrying that bed? What? No. You can't pastor. What's wrong with you? We know what you've done. Oh, we know where you've been. What are you doing? What are you doing carrying it? It's not lawful for you to be free. What are you doing talking like that, James? What do you mean you're healed? No. We've seen the test results. You're not healed. Put your bed down. Come on. Say, listen, I don't know. All I know is he told me take my bed up and follow him. And that's what I'm going to do. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name this morning, we bring our excuses, our insecurities, our faults, our failures. We bring it all this morning. We take up our bed. We take it up. And we walk toward you. Take it, Lord. If you're here this morning, take your bed up. Come on, meet me up here at the altar. Meet me up here at the altar. You want prayer? You want us to join in agreement with you? We'd be glad to pray with you. Bring your bed. Bring your bed with you. Bring your bed with you. You know, it's going to get heavy sometimes. It's going to get uncomfortable carrying those excuses around. Amen? You can lay by the pool the rest of your life and let people feel sorry for you. Or you can get up and suck it up and do something about it. Amen? Come on, anybody else want to meet me up here? I got beds. What about you? What are you laying on? What's supporting your excuses? What is it that the devil's telling you is keeping you from doing what God wants you to do?